Do you know what, Jen? I don't think I've ever looked better in my life. I think I'm at the peak of my physical prowess.
I think you are.
At the moment. And yeah. I would love to share that with people. I'd love people to be able to see me in the flesh.
It's selfish to keep this.
It is. This amount of radiance needs to be shared. So I thought what I would do is invite people along to see me in real life.
To be in the same room at the Museum of Comedy.
At the Museum of Comedy, because comedy is what I do most of the time.
And you belong in a museum.
No.
It was, how rude.
My self-esteem had climbed and now it's back down on the floor. But no, I love the Museum of Comedy and I'm going to go there and I'm going to take my raw magnetism with me on Wednesday the 24th of April.
Can I come too?
You can. Just try not to sort of detract from my glow, you know.
Okay.
We are going to have the magnificent Jenny Ryan, a magnificent guest.
Ooh.
TBA. Wednesday the 24th of April. Put it in your diaries. Bring your sunglasses because I am shining.
Yeah, get your tickets now. The link is in our social media or from the Museum of Comedy website.
Oh, please do come. Jen's all right as well.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
What's your name?
Jenny Ryan.
Correct. What's my name?
Lucy Porter.
Correct. What are we doing?
We're making a podcast all about quizzing.
Correct. What's it called?
Fingers on Buzzers.
Correct. Wow.
Thank you very much for being here on the hottest day on record, is it?
Yes.
Wow.
These are the ones that made it.
You knew there was air conditioning, right?
Oh.
Yeah.
I've got a pocket full of chocolate.
For a change.
For a change.
So she bribes me to keep quiet sometimes.
It's like when I was a kid in church and my mum used to just hand me sweets to stop me mecking about. So, yes, thank you very much for coming. To give us a quick cheer if you've ever listened to our podcast, Fingers on Buzzers. Hooray! Thank you. And for those of you who haven't, I won't make you cheer. But
it's not something to be cheered.
It's not. You're very naughty. But yeah, it is about the world of quizzing and how much we love TV quizzes, pub quizzes, anything. Any kind of question being asked is where we're at, isn't it?
That's our life. That is the life of us. And quiz life.
We love the quiz life and we found another person who loves the quiz life, a brilliant guest who's going to come on very shortly. But first, shall we do... We'll do a big showbiz introduction, right? And then we're going to do a little quiz and then we're going to bring on our guest. So, hello everybody and welcome to London's glittering King's Cross on the hottest day of the year at the London Podcast Festival for a very special...
Fingers on Buzzers!
That was your kind of wrestling voice.
Very much the vibe of today.
Yes, it's hot and sweaty.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah,
I should be wearing Lycra and throwing someone around. It still could happen.
Have you got it on under there?
Yeah.
You're going to just wrestle. It's September, but it's ridiculously...
Sweltering.
Yeah. It's the time of year where you think what I want is to put on a jumper and get a mug of tomato soup and just do a jigsaw.
To be fair, on the way up, I was walking up from King's Cross Station and there were a couple of bottles abandoned on a bench. Mm-hmm. One of them, a bottle of water, empty, good, stay hydrated. The other one, bottle of gazpacho. Empty, like, who's... actually, a baller move. I've gone to the supermarket, I'm hungry, but I'm also really hot and thirsty. Gazpacho, down in one.
Ooh, you could put a bit of tequila in that.
Always with the tequila woman.
It would be like a sort of, you know, a Latin Bloody Mary.
It would be.
Yeah, there we go.
Then maybe they did that and they didn't empty the entire tequila bottle.
I came and swept that up after after they left it. But it is beautifully air conditioned in here, and we are so grateful to our beautiful audience for coming. And in order to give those of you who maybe are not familiar with what we do a little flavour of the podcast, Jenny has prepared a quiz for me about some of the guests that we have previously had on the show.
Yes, just to give you a little taste of what you've missed if you haven't listened to the show before and what you can go back and listen to, because all of these guests are still available on whatever your podcast platform of choice is. Mm. So I'll start with an easy one. I'm going to give you a couple of clues and you can jump in at any time and name that guest.
Okay.
This person's father ran a sex shop.
Well, now I already know who that is.
Okay. Okay. I will ask a few more in case the audience start to get it.
We could throw it to the audience, actually. Yeah, maybe.
Anybody?
No. Yes.
It is Angela Barnes. I didn't need to tell you that she's a foremost expert on nuclear bunkers and her dog is named after a character in Bob's Burgers. Okay, let's have another.
I need to give that person a prize.
You
really
do, actually.
Would you like chocolate or a board game? Chocolate. Because on a day like today,
you're
that's
just
going to
buzz
fancy.
A handful of chocolate bars at that gentleman's head.
Oh, it's Mark.
It's too hot for that.
Right.
Okay. Guest number two.
Yeah.
They studied mathematics and natural sciences at Pembroke College, Cambridge.
Oh, fancy.
However, they lost most of their sense of smell after sniffing ammonia at school.
Gosh, this is a life well lived, isn't it?
Very well lived. Anyone? And they are the co-author of Hollywood Wants to Kill You, which combines his obsessions with film and science. It's not Nish Kumar.
Oh, that's a good guess, though.
It is a good guess.
We've not had him on the podcast.
All right, fact-checking from the back row. Nish Kumar went to Durham, apparently.
Some lovely chipping in here. I'm enjoying
this person it. Is the new host of Fighting Talk.
Oh, it is, yeah.
Lovely, impossible.
My brain is turning. It's gorgeous Rick Edwards.
Gorgeous Rick Edwards, it is.
I didn't know he didn't have a sense of smell.
Well, he's got a very poor sense of smell due to that incident, but maybe that encouraged him to study science, who knows?
Yeah, he smells very nice himself.
I think his wife will have something to do with that.
She just douses him down every day. Yeah, no, he does, he smells lovely.
Okay, guest number three. Mm. This person's middle name is Sherrington.
Oh,
they appeared.
Les Sherrington Dennis.
No. Sounds good.
Angela Sherrington Barnes.
We've already had Angela Barnes.
It works for anyone, though, doesn't it? Jenny Sherrington Ryan.
No.
No, it doesn't work. No. Right.
They appeared in Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince.
Well, at least I'm not the only blank face in the room.
And he has held three Guinness World Records, those being the most pumpkins smashed in 1 minute with 11, the highest reverse bungee jump, where they were superseded by David Hasselhoff, and the most pancakes tossed in 1 minute, they were superseded within 24 hours by Aldo Zilli.
Right, there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
First of all, what is a reverse bungee jump?
I'm not sure.
I mean, what?
I think they you start from the ground and they ping you up like a big old catapult. It was at Battersea Power Station, if that helps, and maybe it was between two of the towers.
Gosh, now this feels like it's someone who's done these for a presenting job.
Yes.
Possibly children's television. Or like a You Bet style...
Someone who has faced a lot of interesting people in presenting over
Challenge Annika?
No. Although she will still hold Guinness World Records, I'm sure. This person has lost these Guinness World Records.
Oh gosh. So it's a loser.
Oh no. I have to say...
A loser with a really ridiculous middle
Lucy,
name.
Lucy, you can't say that. This is our number one celebrity fan of the podcast.
It's only Mr. Ben Shepherd.
It's only Mr. Ben Shepherd. Oh. Ben Sherrington Shepherd.
Oh, God.
I need to find out about him being a loser now.
I would have bullied him so much at school. All right, Sherrington. Oh, my gosh. Well,
and I can ask you, I can give you some facts and see if the audience can guess who our guest is today.
Yes.
So, guest number four. They have appeared on the podcast before, but this is their first live appearance.
Ooh.
They're known for playing the banjo in the band Police Dog Hogan. He's a journalist and author with a weekly column in The Guardian, and there's nothing he can't tell you about savoury variations on the martini. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Mr. Tim Dowling.
Hey!
Come and join us. It's very snug.
Oh, what a treat to see you, Tim. How are you?
I thought nobody was going to get that.
I couldn't remember Rick Edwards' name, so I...
It's the heat. Let's blame the heat for everything today.
Yeah, I feel like memory is not going to be anyone's strong suit today. So, Tim, it is lovely to see you again.
It's very nice to be back.
So, last time Tim was on our podcast, for those of you who didn't listen, we discovered that we are both left-handed. Mm-hmm. Like all the best people are cheering for the left-handed people. Yes!
Wow. It's about 11% of the population, I think, isn't it?
It is.
Something like that.
And we are more... We're going to die younger.
I believe that's true. I'm sorry to be the person to break that news to you. But yeah.
I mean, hopefully not today, not during the show.
Life expectancy is shorter for reasons that nobody seems to understand.
Aren't more serial killers left-handed as well?
That's exactly right. Because you go, I can't use the scissors!
Must use the knife. Yeah.
But we sort of jab it in really badly. There's a lot of failed serial
It's just because we're pissed off all the time.
Yeah, we are. It's a terrible burden that we bear. And then the other things that we talked about, we spent quite a lot of time with you last time, Tim Dowling, talking about pampas grass and swinging.
Oh, that's right. Because, why?
No idea. No idea whatsoever. It's just one of those
And there was a story about someone, you went to a party and someone flicked a cigarette out the window and the pampas grass went up like a...
Christmas tree. Her poor mum and dad could not signify that they were swingers to the neighbourhood.
The orgy is over, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
You always know the orgy's over when the pampas grass is ablaze. I mean,
it's like Burning Man. But
I live in Acton. There's a lot of pampas grass up
there. Oh, they love it. Saucy.
Can only imagine.
We also talked about what you would do as your specialist subject on Mastermind, which will possibly come up later. I've got a little quiz for you and Jenny, which is kind of Mastermind themed. But one thing we didn't talk about last time you were on, and that's what I wanted to dwell on today, was your live quizzing experiences.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you've covered yourself in glory. but
not
you've got some great
generally.
Tales to tell. Because I was reading about a charity quiz that you did where you were a table host.
Yes, they do. They sort of, I guess they're looking for a corporate sponsorship. So they get these companies to come, and the lure is that there's a celebrity captain for every table. Mm-hmm. Of course, my table show up, and they're just like, they're looking around at the other tables, and there's Deborah Meaden and Nasty Nick from The Apprentice and Louis Theroux, and they're like, who is this guy? And I always feel like, you know, they're not getting to sit with Deborah Meaden and chat, or Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden, or whoever. So I got to win.
All
I can give them is, we've got to win. And the first year I came, I remember I also turned up underdressed. It was in a like posh boys' school, and all the men were wearing dinner jackets. And I just thought, and I was just wearing, I wasn't even wearing a tie. And so I felt like hiding the whole time. And we came sixth, or joint sixth, behind Louis Theroux's team. And I was miserable. So they asked me the next year anyway. So not only did I think, I've got to win again, I thought, I went out and got a tuxedo. I went to a vintage place, because they asked me months beforehand. So I went to a vintage place, I bought a dinner jacket, I had it was really big, so I had it tailored. By the time the guy was done, I think the pockets were on the back. But it fit, and I remember the day of, I couldn't find my bow tie, so I went and bought one on the day of, and I showed up, and I was the only person wearing it.
That's a lovely...
I mean, everybody else was like in sweaters. It was a whole different vibe.
Which charity was it for?
It's called PEAS, and they do schools in Africa. Mm. It's a charity that they build schools in Africa, particularly in Uganda. So I remember thinking ahead of time, I thought there's definitely going to be... It's very hard to prepare for a quiz, but I thought... There's definitely going to be a question about Uganda. And my son had just come back. You know, he'd been on a school trip to Uganda. And I said, ask me, you know, a question about Uganda. And he said, okay, because what countries border Uganda? And I said, great, that's great. What's the answer? He goes, I don't know. So I had to look it up, and I came up with a mnemonic for the answer, which is trucks.
Mm-hmm. Should we throw it to the audience?
Ooh. Yeah, so those are the countries that border Uganda. The only hint I'll give you is that the U in trucks is Uganda, so don't... Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Tanzania, Rwanda, Kenya.
There's a C.
Oh, C is the C, Chad?
Congo, I think.
Congo.
And
then the S...
Is and so forth. I think it is. I think it's South Sudan.
Ah, very good. Well, you did very well. Well done, audience. They got
so
all of
I showed up at the quiz, and it was hosted by Jeremy Paxman.
Wow.
And I was surrounded by these corporate suits who wanted nothing to do with the quiz. Mm. It was just me and this woman who worked for the charity. Mm-hmm. And Jeremy Paxman turned over the page. He goes, "Now we've got some questions about Uganda." And he said, name the six countries that border Uganda. And I was like suddenly going, I'll handle this. And that year, we won.
Way! Yes. In your face, Louis Theroux.
And they never asked me back again.
Well, you'd completed it, so...
You know, they're like, you're not supposed to win, man. The famous people are supposed to win.
It's quite an intimidating thing. I have also done these, and I'm sure you have, Jenny, like the charity quiz, where, because I remember mine was for the Film and TV Benevolent Fund, and it really was a who's who of British comedy. Like, obviously, Barry Cryer was there, and his table were all uproariously laughing and having a great time. And then, you know, I looked over, and Greg Davis was there, and they were all having a great time. And the sort of pressure to kind of,
you're like, shut up and let me listen to the questions.
Yeah. Yes.
And you're supposed to be in charge of these people who sometimes are just, they were all friends and they were just there gassing along. And I was like, but I can't hear anything. And they said, there was one question I remember. It was like to list all the elements in the periodic table that have a single letter abbreviation. And someone just said, well, there's only one. And I was like, no, there are more than one. And I said, there are at least, I said, I appointed like a subcommittee to go through the alphabet, which I immediately took charge of. And it was, we went through the whole thing, and I came up with, I said, there are six. There are at least, and then someone came up with another one, seven, it's definitely seven. There are 14.
Okay.
As it turns out.
That's good to know. Because the celebrity quizzes, like, or the charity quizzes, where you are the table captain, that is a difficult position to be in, Jen, isn't it?
Thankfully, I've not had to do that. I think it's seen as cheating, really, to have me parachuted in.
Yes.
I was invited to do one which is called, I think, the Great Big News Quiz, which is down at Grosvenor House or one of those posh hotels, and every sort of news outlet has a table. So I think I was on with Good Morning Britain. And I added absolutely nothing because it was all about news stories from the last 2 weeks that these people have been working on non-stop. Not a clue.
Yeah, because you don't really... That would not be something you would need, obviously, for your TV quizzing. But no. In your quiz leagues and stuff, does that come up much?
Yeah, you get new stuff. The problem with that particular event, and with all of these, is they make a lot of money from silent auctions or real auctions. And I was sitting next to Martin Lewis, the so-called money-saving expert, who was telling me what to bid on while not bidding on anything himself. I spent a lot of money.
Yes.
Oh, he's dreadful.
That's how
he's great. He's a national treasure, but yeah, no, don't let him encourage you.
That's the problem. If it's going wrong for you, it's just so easy to get drunk and then buy a holiday in Mustique by accident.
Well, I
you were there as well.
I was hosting an auction, like doing the auction, which is something I hate because it's not my skill set at all. And there was this, it was a framed Everton football shirt or something, and it wasn't really moving. And so I said, I'll start it off myself at like £900, and nobody else bid. And I have no interest in football. Yikes. Whatsoever. I don't know anyone, so I kind of. But then you feel awful because I had to say to the charity at the end, "Can I not give you £900?" Can I just do something else for you instead? But also, I did also win a tour of the Imperial War Museum with Dan Snow. Yeah, right? And it was quite a bargain. It was about 500 quid. And I was like, that, it, you know, as a sort of going rate for an hour with Dan Snow, I sort of think that would be about right. But we never managed to organise it, and now I'm too embarrassed to chase it up.
I think that's how they get you as well.
Yeah.
I had a friend who, she worked for the BBC, and she went to a BBC thing, and they auctioned off, I think it was lunch, with Helen from the Archers. And her husband is a massive Archers fan. And so she was a bit drunk. She said, I couldn't tell him how much I paid for it. I paid an absolute, like, £750 or something for lunch with Helen from the Archers. She came home and she told him, and she was telling the story about how much she paid while she was standing in the hall at Broadcasting House to someone. She goes, What did you bid for? He goes, I bid £750 for lunch with Helen from the Archers. And the woman looked at her and said, I'm Helen from the Archers.
Well, you wouldn't know, would you? You wouldn't know. So the live quizzing experience it can be fraught in that way. But also another article that you wrote, which sounded equally traumatic, was you going to a trendy pub quiz in Notting Hill.
Oh, God, that was ages ago. Mm. And that, I mean, I remember writing that, you know, somehow quizzing had become fashionable. Like it was the worst thing in the whole world up until that point.
Well, it was one of those, the hook obviously was that one famous person had been seen at a pub quiz.
Someone had turned up at the Cock and Bottle in Bayswater, which was the sort of meant to be the white hot center of quizzing if you wanted to, you know, join a quiz with members of Blur or something. And I took, like, all my smart friends along, all the ones that said yes anyway. And, you know, I used to live not that far from there. I've been to the Cock and Bottle before. I just never went on quiz night. And we were sort of kind of wiped out. There was this kind of table of ringers that called themselves, like, the Cornerites because they sat in the corner. And they just knew everything. You know that thing where you think, we didn't do too bad. We got 14 out of 16. And they got 16 out of 16. Cool. And it just keeps going that way. And they missed four questions out of 65 or something.
Wow.
And... One of the things was like how, because I never forgot not knowing this, is how is pi expressed as a vulgar fraction?
Oh, we all know that.
And I didn't even know what that, I was like, I don't even know what that means. What are you talking about? What is a vulgar fraction?
Yeah.
22/7.
Yeah.
That's oh, like, thank you.
Yes, that's, I know that now, but I still don't know, I still don't know what's vulgar about that. It's like...
It's because the number on top's bigger than the number underneath.
I just think...
Put it in the calculator and then turn it upside down.
It seemed to me there were worse fractions out there.
do you do pub quizzes generally, or was it just for that article?
I haven't done one in a long time now, but before lockdown, I was in the habit of going to one. There was one in Chiswick where they're, you know, the nice pub that was trying to have something to do on a Monday. And I just take it way too seriously, you know. Everybody else is sort of there for the food and the fun. And I'm always like, could you repeat it, please? Yes. And will you accept grapefruit juice as an answer?
You're one of us.
Yeah, I make it so hard for everyone. It's just...
Oh, yeah. No, you're very much
like,
amongst
and
friends.
And you start working on the pictures now.
Yeah. Well, what I liked from what you were saying before is having someone to manage roles... in the team, like you were saying at the charity one, you know, you get a subcommittee working on something. Let's talk a little bit about that, about how you kind of manage a team.
Yeah, well, it's harder at those events where you don't know everybody, but trying to get everyone involved, especially if they're getting distracted by, you know, food and friends and nice things. giving them a job and having things that you'll come back to and assigning a little role. So someone has to be the scribe, and you can try and find out who's got the neatest handwriting or who's not drinking. That's probably the best one, because that's going to last for the length of the quiz. By the end, what's the point of getting 10 out of 10 if no one knows what you've written?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've just done some pictures.
Yeah, I illustrated this one. and if there are some that you do want to work on, like the chemical elements, guys, can you work on this one? It's the sports round now. They're not into sports. Let's carry on. You do the chemical elements. We'll work on this. We'll just make notes and keep everyone occupied somehow.
Yeah. Actually, by the end of the quiz, you can have people working on various different things. We had one at our regular quiz where the question was, how many pairs of ribs are there in the human body? And one of our team basically just sat there the whole... just and it was beautiful to watch, but we still got the wrong answer.
As long as they're a normal person. Some people yes. have... One of my son's friends, he has... His whole insides are reversed.
Ooh. What?
Which is called something. I remember what it is. His insides are just backwards. His heart's on the other side.
Oh, wow.
And his organs are all... He's a mirror image of a normal person.
So when do you even find that out, though?
You have to, something has to be quite wrong.
It can't be appendicitis. Well, it's the wrong side.
He went to the hospital for something. They couldn't find his heart. And they're like...
Whoa.
It's like, you don't have a pulse. This is bad.
That's terrifying. It was extra terrifying for the medical staff. Yeah.
I suppose, yeah, if you've got biology questions coming up or anatomy questions, you do want to make sure that you're all sort of...
No six-fingered people.
Got your bits. Yeah. No Anne Boleyns or... other. Who else is famous for having an extra digit? There you go. That's another good quiz question.
Gemma Arterton.
Yes.
Cats.
Krusty the Clown.
Who?
Krusty the Clown had a third nipple.
Oh, so there he did. A supernumerary nipple.
So do you think, Jenny, that you need management skills? Like, are you soft and gentle in your management, or are you quite forceful?
Again, it does depend on how much drink has been taken, how much management is needed. If you've got a team of quiz enthusiasts, actually, you might need to be a bit stricter with them, because they'll be talking all over the place and overthinking things. Sometimes it's... Actually, what's the answer on the card going to be? Let's take it back to brass tacks. This isn't university challenge. This is the PTA quiz. Who's written this?
Yes.
And, yeah, I think you do have to be an iron fist in a silk glove.
There's always
one
person.
Don't make it seem like you are over-managing, but you are managing every aspect of that quiz.
There's always one person who will... talk you out of the right answer when you've already got it written down and insist right before the card goes away to be marked that they know for a fact that it isn't this, it's that. And sometimes that person is me.
Yes.
And it's always horrible. I mean, you know, because you were so confident and then...
It does happen, but another thing about managing a quiz team, especially when you don't know everybody, is giving credit where it's only just partially due. So... if somebody is not a quiz person and they're floundering a little bit, if they give a little bit of information or they give one answer, you go, brilliant, you've earned your place. Yes, thanks. Oh, we wouldn't have done it if it wasn't for that particular answer. And that can also, you know, boost someone's confidence and they might not say no to the next quiz. They might get that one answer next time.
You've said all very these useful. Things to me during quizzes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you've done very well, Lucy. That's
thanks for
it.
That teamwork.
Yeah, she's done very well. We had a terrible falling out last quiz I went to with it was the birthplace of Charles Dickens, and it got really nasty. And there was no one looking, you know, there was no one to kind of referee the argument. So we all kind of felt a little bit sad.
That is sad, especially. It's not what you would have wanted, is it, Chaz?
I don't know.
He would have liked the drama, wouldn't he?
I think he would have.
Maybe it was his spirit.
What is the birthplace of Charles Dickens?
Totally can't remember. Because it's one of those where I said the wrong... I think I had the wrong answer and insisted that we put that. It's either Kent or...
Portsmouth. He was born in Portsmouth.
It is. That's right.
Then he lived in Kent.
That's right. And, of course, we were all like, what the hell would it be Portsmouth? And it 100% was.
Oh. Sorry. I wasn't there to put my foot down.
I know, well, we need
you. Just stick with an answer.
Now, I would love to do some actual quizzing with you two. We've talked about it. I think we've whetted everyone's appetites. So for Jenny and Tim, I've prepared a quiz because, as I say, when Tim was on our podcast last time, he was talking about what his specialist subject would be on Mastermind. And you said, do you remember?
My real specialist subject is general knowledge. But... I think, did I say Gillette? King Gillette?
King C. Gillette, you did. The utopian socialist and inventor of the disposable razor.
Yeah. Ask me anything.
Well, I thought thought that was so fascinating. And so I did go away and do a little bit of reading. And then Jenny's specialist subject when she was on Mastermind was?
Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, this is pop.
It was about 18 years ago, though, so...
Well, you've probably still got it up there somewhere. So what I have called this game is Master Mind Reader, because I am going to ask Jenny questions on King C. Gillette.
You got this.
And Tim will be answering questions on his beloved Buffy the Vampire Slayer. How keen are you on Buffy from 1 to 10?
I've never seen a full episode of Buffy. Okay.
This is going to go very well. So I've called this Master Mind Reader because you're getting questions on each other's specialist subjects, but you will be able to convey the answers using either your telepathic connection or I may let you give some little clues. To
ask
the
spirits. That's the spirit of Dickens.
Ooh.
Portsmouth, that's the only answer he'll give.
Portsmouth. I will never forget that now, though. So at least at least we've done that. Right, I'm going to
turn could be a car crash.
To you, Jenny, first. King C. Gillette. He's called King C. Gillette, and the C in his name stands for what?
Okay.
The psychic
we should have come up with a code earlier.
Yeah.
You are allowed to give a little clue.
Yeah.
It's a non-traditional name.
It is a non-traditional name.
Like for a human. Would it be a good name for a dog?
We don't think that King C. Gillette was gay. But if he were... this would be a very appropriate middle name for him.
Oh. Wow. That was not... what I was expecting.
Oh, I think the psychic vibes have hit people in the audience. I think
okay.
The mind the audience transmission is being received over there. It's just gone slightly awry.
Or perhaps not.
Okay.
Mustn't put people into boxes.
Or if he were a bottled coffee.
Oh, camp.
Yeah.
Yes.
Camp. Oh, wow.
King Camp.
King Camp. I have heard that before.
It's actually a mouthful, isn't it?
Wow.
King Camp would be a really King good Camp. Name for a pop star or
Adventure Playground.
Yes.
It was
Everyone
his mother's
gets a crown on the way
It was
in.
His mother's maiden name. It's not even that interesting a story.
Okay, very good. We should point out that Tim has written a book about King Camp Gillette.
Yeah.
Which is available still.
Good luck finding a copy of that. There are only two biographies of Gillette, and I wrote the much shorter one. So I do recommend it for that reason.
I'm sure it's flown off the shelves. Let's do a Buffy. Let's do a Buffy now. Right, okay. So this is for you, Tim. Buffy's younger sister, played by Michelle Trachtenberg, is called what? Is it coming through? I think she's... look there, Jenny's sending the psychic vibes.
No,
yeah, Tim's nodding. Okay, do you want to give a little clue?
It's a time of day.
Not this time of day.
Definitely not now.
Tea?
Tea?
A time of day?
It's my favourite time of day. This is
my
Buffy.
Least favourite time of day.
Oh, what, this? The one
that's the answer.
The correct answer
Yeah, I very rarely see it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's dawn.
Yes!
Well done, Tim. Dawn Summers was played by Michelle Trachtenberg. Okay, let's go back to King C. Gillette. I don't know how you're going to do this. Good luck.
I'm just going to use the psychic vibes.
Okay. I tell you what, now I'm going to change the question because it was too hard. In which state... was King C. Gillette born?
Massachusetts.
Oh, I love the fact that you were straight
that
in with that.
Very confident.
Completely wrong. Completely wrong.
Okay, so completely wrong. So, California.
That is the opposite of Massachusetts, is it?
That's it's far away from it.
It is, yes.
Hawaii.
I would split the difference between California and Massachusetts.
Missouri.
And go north.
Oh, Minnesota.
More closer.
Ohio.
He was raised in Chicago, but he came down south to go to Chicago. So he was born north of that.
You could give some facts about the state, if you. I don't mind. That would be.
I think the residents of that state are called cheeseheads.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Yes. Well,
America's done. Mitten.
Is it?
Yeah.
It looks like a mitten.
It does look like a mitten.
Cheeseheads and mitten, that's all I know about.
That's good. Well, that's more than I knew. Okay, so let's go back to Buffy. So the high school that Buffy attends, what is the name of that high school?
I do not know, but...
Someone in the audience just went, that's easy.
I know. My...
I suspect that we may have
my
more
suspicion
Buffy
is, because it's usually what happens in American dramas or sitcoms, is that the high schools are named after obscure American presidents.
Oh, okay.
If only.
No?
No. I'd like to know which president you would have guessed.
Yeah. Who's your go-to obscure president?
Welcome back, Carter. They went to Millard Fillmore High. So, Buchanan.
It's a good obscure American president. You did say on our podcast as well that in a quiz, the thing that Tim always gets right is American presidents.
Yeah, that's basically why I'm there. And sometimes I go home after the American president question. Because that's as good as it's going to get for
me. Yeah, they're only going to have one. So if you're writing a quiz and Tim's going to attend, keep the president question for the end.
So then it's going to be called something like Fairview or Fairlawn.
You've got the vibe. That's the vibe.
That's Jenny's transmitting really
Spring
well.
Spring Lake.
There.
Spring.
Ooh.
This could still take a really long time.
This is really good. You got the correct first letter and the vibe.
Pardon?
And it links to dawn.
And it does link to dawn, yes, you're right.
So it's a weather condition and the type of place.
Sunny.
Yes, yes.
Hill.
Oh.
Dale.
Yes.
Yay. Sunnydale, hi.
Oh, my God.
This is amazing. You're like...
That could have literally... We could still been here tomorrow. That's weird. It's like Riverdale. It's like which is where the Archies went to high school, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Right. I'm going to give you...
Wish this was a quiz about the Archies.
Now, this actually...
Next time we'll do that.
This is a quiz a question, rather, that you might actually be able to get because it's not about King C. Gillette. Gillette's last book, The People's Corporation, was written with an author who was famous for a book about conditions in the meatpacking industry. I thought you would get this. Right, okay. That book was called The Jungle.
It's ringing a bell with me.
Okay. So Gillette's last book, The People's Corporation, was written with an author who wrote a book about... It was an expose of the poor conditions in America's meatpacking industry.
Was it adapted into a song by Guns N' Roses?
That would have been a much more interesting lyric, wouldn't it? But do you want to do some clueing?
He's a hugely prolific author. He wrote 100 and something books, including memoir. He made a lot of money off The Jungle. He was sort of a utopian himself. He shares a name with another famous American author, although it's his surname and the other guy's first name. The author of Babbitt. Somebody.
Yeah. Yes. There we go. No, that's nice. We're
audience,
helping.
Audience okay. Point there. Did I hear Sinclair Lewis?
Good. Yes. So Sinclair Lewis Sinclair. Is the author of Babbitt, but yep. It's not Sinclair Lewis. It's the other guy. It's Mr. Sinclair.
The name sounds a little bit like a Billy Joel song.
Pianoman.
Pianoman Sinclair. If Sinclair had been a girl who had known Billy Joel, he might have called... Anyway.
Or the Abbey above, Downtown Abbey.
Yes.
Upton Sinclair.
Yay!
That took longer
Sinclair,
than it should have
very
done.
Very good. I mean, it's been extraordinary. We will have one more question about Buffy.
Which I think you're winning on.
Okay. In season 5...
Oh, yeah.
Buffy's mother, Joyce, dies.
Spoilers!
Yeah, that's true. Sorry to anyone who hasn't watched it in the 20-odd years that you've had available to do so. Buffy's mother, Joyce, dies. What does she die of? Do you know this one, Jen?
Yeah. Yeah.
She wasn't slain by a vampire, was she?
Absolutely not.
No, it's much more mundane
it's
than
tedious.
That, isn't it?
Yeah. Presumably by then that had gotten a bit boring.
Yeah. Well, it's what you'd expect. Like, she comes home to find her mother dead. You'd think, oh, she's been eaten by a werewolf or something. But no.
Drowning?
No. Not even that sort of dramatic.
A heart attack?
Yeah. Just heart failure.
Well, it's an aneurysm I've got.
Oh, was
here,
it?
But it was some.
Oh, I thought it was just heart. Oh, right. It was an aneurysm.
I mean, there's an end to the quiz right, just right. ending on heart That's attack or aneurysm. That's the way we like.
That's a lesson in how to compile your quizzes. We should have saved the American president for the end.
Yes. I'll give you one bonus question to both of you, because this is really...
Does it cover both topics? Because that would be incredible.
That would be weird.
I wish I'd been as clever as you think I am. Okay, the ranch that King Gillette purchased near Calabasas in Southern California has recently featured in which Netflix psychological thriller series?
I was like, all I know about Calabasas is the Kardashians live there.
Yes.
Yes.
But it's a psychological... Oh,
I mean, Keeping Up with the Kardashians is a psychological thriller series. But
it is, but it's not on Netflix.
That's not the answer I'm looking for.
I actually went to Calabasas
yep.
as part of the research of the book to Ooh. Track down King Gillette's ranch. Mm. And I just couldn't find it.
Oh, no.
It was on Netflix the whole time.
I just drove around and around and around. I've spent 4 hours up in those mountains, absolutely lost, and I just gave up. So I've never been there.
It belonged to Bob Hope at one point. But anyway, it was in a psychological thriller series starring Sarah Paulson in the title role...
Ratched.
It was Ratched. Congratulations, Jenny.
I think it was also the opening scene of, allegedly, the opening scene of Gone with the Wind uses his long drive.
Oh, wow. Well, there we go.
Because by that time, the producer had bought it from Gillette's widow.
Yes, that's right. I think there was a lot of filming done on that ranch.
It's been through a few hands.
Yes. Well, we've laughed, we've learned, and what we've learned is there is no psychic connection between these two. Yeah.
Still unproven.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Thank you for taking part in that. And now I think we've got more quizzing to be done.
What, on this quiz podcast?
Yeah, I know. So what we like to do with our guests is to give them a quiz to host, in which Jenny and I will compete. Now, Tim, who are your favourite quiz show hosts?
I just like William G. What was he called?
William G. Stewart, yeah.
William G. Stewart. William G. Stewart, that's what I meant.
Yes, yes, yes. No,
he often shortened it to William G., didn't he?
You were such good friends.
Billy GG.
Yeah, he was
And then
amazing.
Alex Trebek, obviously the great Alex Trebek from Jeopardy, which you don't really have here.
Not yet.
Is it coming?
Coming soon. Yeah.
Who's doing that?
Fry.
Oh.
Stephen, not Hannah. Because, God forbid, they would have a woman host a quiz show.
Yes, I know. It would be too dangerous to let that happen. Well, we need you to channel Trebek.
Yeah, I'm sensing no nonsense... It's all about the questions.
Yes.
That's the style of the... That's the respect
no bells,
to the question.
No whistles.
And the quiz, I think, that Amanda has prepared... It's because when we were thinking about what we could do with Tim, quite often we like to use a pun. And, like, it's very good, Tim, because you can go, well, time or win, like, in it to Tim it. That was one that I had suggested.
One that fell by the wayside.
Yes. But Amanda has settled on something. And Tim, I believe you... I've got a backup copy here that I haven't looked at, but you've got your own, haven't you?
This is a surprise to us as well as to you. Hopefully not a surprise to Tim.
I believe this quiz is officially called Tim After Tim.
There you go.
which is weird because no one who's called Tim... Is anyone here called Tim? No, see? Again, it's like being left-handed. But nobody who's called Tim likes being called Tim. Whenever I meet someone called Tim, I take great pleasure in using their name a lot. Also, if you ever come up... whenever I'm on a stage, if I pause for even a second, someone at the back will always go, "Come on, Tim."
Oh, yes. Well, that may be an answer.
Well, it could be. I have read these ahead of time.
You're very good.
It's not.
Okay.
But all the clues feature members of the Timocracy. Which is actually in the paper today. I looked. There is a word called Timocracy, and it doesn't mean rule by people called Tim.
That's a shame. What does it mean?
It means rule by people who own property.
So you own all the property.
So I've learned two things today. One of them is how to open that can and that. So there's a lot of Tim's feature in this, basically.
We should do a big showbiz intro for you as well, shouldn't we?
We should really,
this kicking off.
Okay.
We'll go, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Tim After Tim.
And here is your host.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Martin Amis once said that Tim Henman was the only Tim ever to have achieved anything at all. But we're here to prove different. Question number one. Can you guess the famous Tim from these three clues? Mm. Clue one. His mother owned a cat-themed gift shop. It's not me.
It's not you. Your mother didn't own a cat-themed gift shop. That would do weird things to you. It's going to be a weird Tim. Tim Vincent from Blue Peter. I don't know. I'm not saying he's weird.
He's not that weird. Is he?
He's a Tim I thought of.
I'm here to tell you that all Tims are pretty weird.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of all the Tims and I've not found a normal one.
No.
Because I was thinking Vine.
So this isn't ringing any bells for you?
Not yet.
What you're saying. His first stop-motion horror film, Vincent, was narrated by Vincent Price, and it debuted in 1982.
Buzz. That must be...
Do we have buzzers, fingers?
I'm just slapping my knee.
You'd think as we're called buzz. Fingers on buzzers, we'd actually have buzzers.
Something to think about for next time. Yes?
I'm going to say Tim Burton.
That is correct. Tim Burton is correct. Well done.
Very good.
1 point to you. The next clue was that he directed three films starring Winona Ryder in 1988, 1990, and 2012. And for a bonus, you could name those. Do you?
Beetlejuice.
Do you know
yes,
that's one of those. Say it again.
I didn't.
But the years again.
Edward Scissorhands.
Scissorhands. Yep. Yeah. And 2012.
And 2012.
Is that like A Nightmare Before Christmas?
She wasn't in The Corpse Bride, was she? No.
No.
Throw it to the audience.
Sorry. 2012 film? It's Frankenweenie.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was an animated one. We're on the right line.
There we go.
There we go.
That's just extra anyway. Number two, can you guess which U.S. psychologist, famous in the 1960s, was Winona Ryder's godfather?
Is it another Tim?
They're all Tims, man.
Tim's all the way down.
Buzz. Would that be Timothy Leary?
It would be, yeah. Oh.
Wow, that's a good fact.
Just scrolling through the little Rolodex of Tim's in my brain.
Timidex.
That's it.
He's an advocate for psychedelic drugs who coined the phrase tune in, turn on, and drop out. Mm. Number three, which famous Tim used to be a rapper going by the name of Lil Timmy Tim?
This is you. And you'd love nothing more than to do one of your raps for us now.
I have never rapped and will not rap now. But I did used to go by the name Lil Timmy Tim when I was, and my brothers and sisters still more or less call me that. But was it Timothy Dalton, Timothy Chalamet, or Tim Farron?
Tim Farron rapping is just a wonder. Any Lib Dem rapping.
Surely they've all tried it in a campaign video.
I'm sure if you went to the conference, you would find that.
Yeah, they don't do karaoke. They just do a rap battle at the end of the Lib Dem conference.
With Vince Cable.
Any of them. You just think of any Lib Dem rapping. Min Campbell. Hilarious.
I reckon he'd be surprisingly good at it.
Yeah, quietly sort of confident.
He's very competitive, isn't he? He was an athlete in his youth.
Yes, that's right.
Just going to gently draw you back to the question.
Sorry.
See, there's the Trebek. Lovely.
Who was the other one? So Tim...
I'd go Chalamet out of those. What do you reckon?
He seems of an age, doesn't he?
He looks like he had a period where he was convinced he was going to be the next Eminem.
And then he's gone quite emo. That's sort of a weird thing. You wouldn't think you'd go sort of rap to... Because now I think he's like that sort of weird, like Victorian child-looking...
Yeah.
Type person, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if he was a girl, then Tim Burton would have cast him in Edward Scissorhands.
Yes.
Yeah, right away.
Yes, exactly.
It was Timothy Chalamet. I mean, I think you've got to get there by the process of elimination because you think it's not Timothy Dalton.
I've been impressed.
And Tim Farron is a stretch. For an extra point, which Tim Burton character did Chalamet pay homage to in an advert for the Super Bowl in 2021?
That's an interesting question. I didn't see it. I don't know, but I'm going to think of a Tim Burton character.
Well, he's playing Wonka, isn't he? Did Tim Burton not do that Wonka film?
Yep.
Willy Wonka?
No, it's Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, did he? There we go.
My husband's in the Wonka movie, but he didn't meet Timothy Chalamet. That's the anecdote I've got there.
Oh. Did he meet Hugh Grant?
Nope.
Did he meet anyone?
Did he? Nope.
All done on green screen. Get it in post.
He got a leather bag out of it, though.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Oh.
There you go. Some of these anecdotes.
He got it, or did he?
Yeah. In the same way that I have got quite a lot of London Podcast Festival mugs in my house. They're very good mugs.
These are good. The dishwasher safe.
Okay, you may be thinking now that the quiz is over. The quiz is not over.
We're just testing how hosty you are.
William G.
This
Stewart.
This is a two-page quiz. Question four. Which famous Tim came close to playing the Joker in Tim Burton's Batman?
Ooh. Ooh. Right. Now, this is not Timothy Dalton. This is not Timothy Chalamet, because we've had them.
It's not Tim Vine.
It's not Tim.
It's not me, again.
I mean, the Joker would be a great part for Tim Vine.
Whenever it says, which famous Tim, you can tell it's not me.
Oh.
But there are clues here. He lends his voice to the Clash album Sandinista.
Oh, probably British Tims, and that's definitely not Henman.
That would be good.
That would be amazing if he was him and Joe Strummer were close personal friends.
And the Joker.
Yes, Tim Henman.
Come on, Tim.
Finally snapped.
He voiced his namesake in Paddington Bear. Although the character was played by Peter Capaldi in the live-action film.
Ah, Tim Curry.
Yes.
He also suffers from coulrophobia, which caused big issues when he was playing one of his most famous characters back in 1986.
Pennywise.
Yes. Coulrophobia being...
Fear of clowns. Yes. Which P. Diddy also suffers from quite badly.
Is he a Tim?
Little Timmy Tim Diddy, yes. That's him.
Coulrophobia, I think, is just a normal human reaction to clowns, isn't it? One of my children was terrified of characters, like big-headed character costumes once, and he once almost threw himself off the side of a building to get away from it, like Woody's from Toy Story's girlfriend.
God.
It was Disneyland. They always think they can make it better. They corner the kid, and then they...
Not how cats operate. They will scratch their way out of there.
He freaked out at the swimming pool because Bob the Builder was there. And I was like, I don't like those things.
No, again, perfectly rational, perfectly acceptable to be afraid of those.
Question five takes some Tims that we've already spoken about into consideration. Which 1994 animation were actors Tim Curry and Timothy Dalton both considered for? Losing out eventually to Jeremy Irons and James Earl Jones, respectively.
Yes, we know this one. It's the circle of life.
All right, Elton.
It's the circle of Tim's.
It all comes full Tim's circle.
Is it? I'm going to look like a right dick if it's not.
It's the Lion King.
It is the Lion King, yes.
Featuring Timbar.
It is the Lion King.
That was really
Tim after Tim. In The Lion King, James Earl Jones played Mufasa, which Timothy Dalton was up for, and Tim Curry was originally offered the part of Scar, but had to turn it down as it clashed with filming Home Alone 2. I think he made the right choice there.
Do you have to have a scene with Donald Trump, didn't
you? Yeah, Donald Trump's in it. I'm definitely taking that part.
I've got a lot of time for Home Alone 2.
This keeps the connections keep coming. Question 6. Tim Rice.
Oh.
Who collaborated with Elton John on The Lion King.
Yes.
This was almost a film of all the Tims, wasn't it? Was there anyone, you know, we'd also say, what film stars every Tim in
yeah,
Britain?
What film? We can check on IMDb later. The film with the greatest Tim rate.
Tim Rice, who collaborated with Elton John on The Lion King, has won
also
awards.
Tim Rice and Tim Curry, of course, there's a connection there, isn't it?
A meal of all the Tims.
I'm just a little bit hungry. Time for some Tim food. Tim Tams. Tim Tams.
Was this what it was like doing that charity quiz?
Yes, exactly.
Trying to manage the team of old friends who were just whittering at you.
Like, who's on the pie team? This is a weird question. Tim Rice, who collaborated with Elton John on The Lion King, just put all that to one side, because that's not part of the question really at all, has won awards for his conservation work with which endangered British rodent?
Tims. Tims are endangered. He's won awards for his conservation work.
Stoats.
Are stoats endangered?
I think they're probably mustelids as well, so that's...
Yeah, I don't really know what a rodent...
Voles. Water voles.
Is that the kind of thing like...
Yeah, that's a rodent.
What about ferrets?
No, you don't they're not endangered. They're up trousers all the time.
Well, that's it. But you used to see that all the time, people with ferrets down their trousers, and it was a thing.
I do it in private now.
Yeah. Where?
There's legislation in place.
British TV, before you got here.
Not round here.
Not round here, but no, it used to be a big thing, wasn't it? Ferret racing.
Ferret racing, I've seen. Yeah. At Fates.
Yes. What are the roads?
Shrews.
Shrews is a good guess.
Is there like a martin, like a pine martin, or that sort of?
Yeah,
area?
Martins are.
Are they?
Yeah, they're not. They're not in good nick numbers wise.
Okay, it's not that.
These are all good answers, but they're not.
None of them are correct.
Ideal time to throw to the audience. Endangered British rodent. Come on,
Roland Rat. I've not seen him in ages. Have you?
It's an endangered rodent, which is allegedly endangered. By another rodent.
Hang on, come on, you're having a thought. Share it with the group.
Red squirrels.
Yes, red squirrels.
Amazing. Was that your final question?
No.
No.
Jackpot question.
You wish.
You'll get a prize.
But this is the final question.
Yep.
Okay.
What fictional Timothy connects Linda LaPlante, Christopher Biggins, and Sue Nichols?
Fictional Tim.
Just thinking, is it Timothy from Sorry?
Oh, that was a lovely fictional Tim. Ronnie Corbett sitcom.
I had to look this up because it's even though I had the answer, I had to look it up because it's before my time.
Linda LaPlante, Sue Nichols.
Now.
Biggins.
And Biggins.
I think I've got it.
Got it?
I mean, anyone else in the audience thinking what I'm thinking? Okay, right. I've got my, I'll tell you what. Sir, what do you think? Yes! That's what I'm thinking.
It is Rent a Ghost.
It is Rent a Ghost!
Timothy Claypole.
Timothy Claypole. Yes. Now, I've never seen... It's one of those things that, you know, mixes me up because I get old things that happened before 1990 in Britain. I don't really understand. I get my Christopher Bigginses and my Bernard Cribbinses mixed up. They're practically anagrams of one another, yeah. And Dimbleby's and Attenboroughs, I get mixed up because they're all... Richards and Davids, aren't they?
I'd
never seen an episode of Rent-A-Ghost, and I watched one yesterday. And
how baffling was it?
It was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry, but that was terrible. But as another connection, it's set in. Anybody remember where it's set in?
Tim Curry's house.
It's set in...
No, let audience, come on, someone, you must be able to, you must. Rent a ghost expert there, nothing, no.
It's set in South Ealing, which is where I, a Tim, had my COVID booster. So there you go.
Yeah! It's just one Tim after another, isn't it?
Thank you. Thank you for playing Tim after Tim.
Yay!
The commissioners will be in touch.
Well, that was brilliant. And do you know what I loved? Authoritative hosting, but so many extra facts. Yeah.
That's what I like.
Well. Yes, this is the sign of a good host, where they just can chuck in some extra little bits. And, you know, not only facts about Tim's, but also just some little personal revelations, like where you had your COVID booster.
Yeah, yeah, it's in at the Clay Ponds Estate
Clay
Health Centre.
Clay,
I know, Clay Ponds, Clay Pole.
Yes.
Is it Clay Pole?
Yes, yes, yeah. Yes. Well, the plot thickens.
Not in Rent-A-Ghost, it didn't. It didn't have much plot.
It really didn't.
No. You've seen one episode, you don't need to ever watch it again. You understand.
Great theme song, though. And Sue was Miss Popoff. That was a great role for her, for Sue Nichols. Right, well, time has marched on, and
Tim has marched on.
It's closing. Tim, gentlemen, please. It's another one we could have done. We've got so many quizzes. In fact, we'll have to have him back, just because we've got a. It's either you or Tim Farron that we need to get on to host more Tim quizzes. It has been a delight and a joy to have you with us. Before we go, I might get you to present some prizes to our friend there in the gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous, vibrant dress. Oh, it was, well, Linda and Tracy, would you like to come up and collect
the
prize from the prize table?
Prize table.
Give it up for Linda or Tracy. Ooh. Beautiful. She's got a game in a tin, and she's saying, at least we've got the tin. The tin.
They have to fight over who gets to take
Practical.
It home.
And then our Rent-A-Ghost expert there, would you like to come up and collect your prize?
Yeah.
Hey, just going for a packet of chocolate. There we go. What's your name?
Wonderful.
It's Chris. Give it up for Chris.
Well done, Chris.
And if anyone feels they should have won a prize, I don't want to carry these home in the heat. So feel free to help yourselves. Now, tell us about what you're up to at the moment, Tim.
I mean, I've still got my column. That's still going. I don't like anyone at The Guardian to necessarily know how long it's been going. They probably joined after I started. Oh. And they'll say, we can get rid of this guy.
No, so they cannot.
That carries on.
We'd take to the streets.
I have today moved my final child out of my house, so I'm embarking on a new phase in my life.
Oh.
Empty nest.
Well.
Very sad. My wife has already put up. He said, I might. He said, because he's got no Wi-Fi. That's all they care about. His new place is all ready, but the Wi-Fi is not set up yet. So he said, I might spend the night back at home. And my wife's like, I'm painting your room. What are you talking about? He's gone.
No messing about.
So there's that. I applied for my, 60-plus travel card the other day. I'm quite excited about never paying to ride the bus again.
Yes, there's a lot
after 9:30.
A lot of free travellers in the room tonight. Well done. Good for you. We will very much look forward to enjoying your column and also taking you to a quiz.
Yeah. You'll have to be in charge, though, because as you can tell, we get off the rails a little bit.
Yes. We'll have you over Louis Theroux or Deborah Meaden any day of the week.
Bless you.
We think you're much better. Please give it up for our guest, the brilliant Mr. Tim Dowling. Well, that was tremendous fun. Thank you very much for joining us. We really appreciate it. And we will see you very soon for another edition of...
Fingers on Buzzers! Bye!
Fingers on Buzzers starred Lucy Porter and Jenny Ryan and was produced by Amanda Redman, with music by Kevin MacLeod and Justin Edwards. Email quiz at fingersonbuzzers.com and tweet at fingersbuzzers. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to join us next time for more Fingers on Buzzers!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.